I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's our last episode.
I was just doing a, like, before we pressed record, I was just doing a end of the day voice.
It's a total end
like,
of the day voice.
Who do you sound like? And I was like, I don't know, someone on TV. And then you were like, maybe. And then I was like, from VPR. And then you were like, Sheena.
It's Sheena. When in doubt, the answer is Sheena. And I realized how much I truly miss having Sheena in my day-to-day existence.
I know.
Because when VPR is off, yeah, Sheena's no longer in my life. Like, she is the, I think, the one person I just, like, don't follow anything she does ever, aside from just random shit that I see on Daily Mail. But, like, she just, like, is not on my radar. It's weird, because she really just, she just is not in my radar world.
I mean, I think she and Doughty, like, kind of are, like, the torchbearers of the VPR dynasty. I think they're, like, the spirit of the show that we love is sort of living through Sheena and Kristen.
It's best summed up as a Doughty, Shay vibe.
Yeah. Because I feel like all of them have, like, tried, they're the least, like, they're the least careful about their persona.
They're living out loud 24/7.
They really are. And they're, like, they're not as, I mean, we've talked about this, but they're just, they're not as manicured or, I mean, they look, you know what I mean? Like, they're not as, PR conscience as the other ones have become.
Yeah.
Which is, it's so weird to watch them all kind of, like, be on the straight and narrow, in quotes. You know, like, they're really, like, cleaning up their acts and stuff, and they're sort of reaching that level of, like, Real Housewives who, like, OG Real Housewives who are controlling the show, and, like, everything is, you can tell that they're sort of approving narratives and plot lines.
Yeah, but it's also, like, they've never had power on the show, and I feel like
they will continue
to not have power, because I truly believe that new people will be cycled in to replace, like, the vibes that were once there from, like, desperate Vanderpump Rules characters. And so now, like, to see them to see the ones who are, like, grasping at a sense of control, like Jax doing comedy on his Instagram stories.
I know.
It's
really bad.
It's bad.
You told me about this last year one time when we were podcasting that he was doing that, and I just couldn't believe it.
And now it's still, like, real.
It's still happening.
He is fully trying to do, like, front-facing camera Instagram comedy. And it's,
oh, God.
But, like, all of his comedy bits are things that, like, don't matter. Like, or things that people... I don't... It's just all bad. It's like, the traffic is so bad.
I feel like he tweets about... it's hot.
He's like, God, it's hot outside, huh? He's like, God, and then I sweat, and I like go everywhere, and I sweat. It's crazy. And it's just like, Jack, like, who's watching that being like...
Some people.
Some people really are engaging with that content in, like, a positive way. I mean, bless them if it makes a great positive impact on their life.
Yeah. Also, oh, my gosh, like, front-facing videos.
Front-facing videos is, like, a very certain, like... You can do that. You're hilarious.
I know. I had
you
a moment
are great.
A few weeks ago where I had a moment a few weeks ago where I like quietly asked you, I was like, oh my God, am I a front-facing video person? And you were like, no. And I was like, are you sure? I'm still, I don't believe, I've asked several people now and they've all gone, no.
No, you're
Which isn't a, it's
hilarious.
Not a bad thing.
No, it's a vibe. And God knows I've done a lot of front-facing, but even I think Jax's front facing made me reevaluate my front facing, and then I deleted all my like gift
no, your front
my all
iconic.
My wish list front facing like story highlights. I
no,
just like
I love
deleted
those.
Them one day because I was just like I can't be front facing. But like
okay,
front
but you also
is
gave
freeing.
Us one of the. But you also gave us one of the greatest videos ever, so you're like forever allowed to do any kind of video.
Am I? Because that sometimes I feel like that privilege has been revoked.
Well, I feel like it's become a...
It's become such a thing that now it's like...
On Twitter.
Yeah. Like, I don't
like,
want any...
Quick
edits. My reactions.
I don't think I've ever done, like, a quick edit video.
No.
Like, front-facing video.
You like to perform a scene, and I love that.
Oh, God, no. It's literally just me talking in a car to myself. It's sad, but people...
But it's the best.
I can kind of do an eye movie, but some people are just so good at like, they just go that, I'm just like, I watch it. I'm like, oh my God.
How do they do
it? How? I don't know. But yeah, Jax needs to stop.
Jax's version of that though is like, it's
him
like,
being like, aren't women annoying in public?
Yeah. He's like, he's like, women are on the road. They're driving. They suck at it. Am I right?
Women suck at driving and they're loud in public. It's like,
he's like,
okay,
if you don't
cool.
have double D's, don't talk to me. Right?
If you don't have double D's, don't talk to me. His timing is just like so off.
I wish that was, because that brand of comedy, like, with Jax, I could weirdly get on board with, because it would just be, like, so wrong, it would be right. But his are just, like, lukewarm, like, observational comedy. Like, it's, like, Seinfeld, but, like, through Jax.
Do you think
Jax's
he'll do, like,
eyes.
A stand-up show?
I pray. I would actually, like, Netflix should give him a half hour. They should just give him one half hour special. They wouldn't sure. like it would cost no money. Tons of people would show up. Like he could sell out a venue in LA and New York to film a half hour of stand up.
For sure. I mean, he should do like a 4-city tour. Can you imagine him on like a bus?
Yes. That I think he was like born to be like Dane Cook, but like lame Cook, like the worst takes ever.
Yeah.
But, like, it's kind of almost... Now I'm like, is he a genius? Like, is he the funniest guy? No, he's not.
Is
it camp?
Is it, like, so beyond... No, it's neither
not even,
that nor good.
I know. That's the worst part about it, is that it can't even be camp.
It's kind of like... It just... All his comedy reminds me of, like, the boys are back in town. Boys are back in town.
I know.
Boys are back in town. It's like the movie Old Dogs. It's just like a bunch of like
it's so
guys
old dogs.
Riding the town.
See, Leif probably loves Old Dogs. I'll bet if you ask him top 10 movies, Old Dogs makes the top 10.
For sure.
100.
Wasn't there a movie like like about, it was like Freeman, I think Michael Douglas, and they were going to Vegas, and like one of them was like dying, and there was like their bucket or something. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was called Las Vegas. And you know why I know that is because I saw it in theaters.
No, you didn't. I did,
and that was truly, that ended my love for cinema, that movie specifically. Because I said, I used to have a policy that I would see anything. I would go see like 4 movies a week. I was just like a movie slut. And then I went with my best friend Christine and was like, let's hit up Las Vegas. We got to do it. And then I was like, you have to be more, you have to be pickier about the movies you see in theaters. And I significantly like dropped off my movie going after that.
Damn, it made $134 million.
People love...
Wow, and fucking Mary Steenburgen, like, God bless her. She's in all these movies as, like, the estranged wife or, like, the
she
wife.
She knows exactly like, what role to take to just, like, keep the paycheck rolling in.
Yeah. And I love her. I mean, obviously, she was in Book Club, which was amazing. But, like, she, I feel like there's, like, a few movies. Yeah. But I feel like there were a few movies of this caliber where, like, Mary Steenburgen's just there, and you're like, give her more.
Yeah, she's always so good. Like every movie, someone writes a role where she literally utters the line like, "You guys," and then like walks away.
She's so beautiful.
She's stunning, and also aren't she and Ted Danson power couple?
Oh yeah, and they're like best friends with Hillary Clinton and Bill.
That's dark sided. I don't trust them.
Yeah, do you know she was married to Malcolm McDowell?
What?
For 10 years. Yeah, her son is Charlie McDowell, that director.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, can you imagine? That's, she's like, she's cool.
She's an acting queen.
She's an Oscar.
Mm-hmm. She has an Oscar?
Anyway.
For what?
Yeah, for Melvin and Howard. Best Supporting Actress.
I don't know her.
I don't either. Oh my God, Book Club was so wild. We should do a whole podcast about Book Club.
We actually should do a podcast about Book Club because that was one of the best movies of last year.
Yeah.
And they're doing a Book Club too.
I know. I went with the writers from Heather's when we like just went after work one day and people were like applauding in the theater. Like, we were all, like, clapping, and it was so fun.
I was screeching. And also, Andy Garcia is so hot. Like,
I know.
Real. He is like, on my top 5 fuck list now.
Yeah, he was really, really fucking hot in that movie. And, like, literally, like, plow me on your pool deck in Scottsdale.
Please. I never wanted to move to Arizona, but now I'm ready.
Like, just looking out at the Red Rock Canyon. And also, like, Diane Keaton, her daughters were Alicia Silverstone, and I forget who else. And they were
gaslighting her. They were emotionally and verbally and psychologically abusing her. She's like, I'm fine. They're like, Mom, you shouldn't go down the stairs. What are you thinking? And they, like, keep trying to, like, kill her. And she's like, I'm literally, like, fine. Are you guys okay? And they're like, Mom, stop. You're going to have a heart attack.
They're, like, Munchausening her.
Yeah, that was really bizarre.
I was, like, I wanted to talk about that more. Because I was, like, I feel like people aren't talking about enough this, like, elder abuse.
They were totally full elder abuse, but Diane was going with it. She was like, there's nothing I can do. I guess I just have to like move. It's like, no, you literally
But then Andy Garcia swept her into a helicopter, flew her out to his like stucco villa and like overlooking a valley in the desert.
Literally,
and, like,
he lives in the middle of the Grand Canyon.
And I literally was like, I want this.
I wanted that.
I think everyone.
Can that be my fate, please?
Yeah, he's beautiful. He's always been so hot. Remember the movie When a Man Loves a Woman with Meg Ryan?
Can I tell you a secret? Is honestly, I've never seen that.
I have only seen, I think I've watched it with my mom once on TV years ago, but it's so good. She's like, Meg Ryan plays an alcoholic and he's like in Al-Anon. And it's, or like, has that codependent, like, trying to cover up for the alcoholic.
It's kind of like a recovery movie. a bit.
Yeah, and Meg Ryan, it's like, it's kind of, because, yeah, and she's the alcoholic, and he's trying to hold his family together, and her, their daughter is that Tina Margerino, remember her from Andre and Waterworld?
Oh, yeah, oh my god. And what other it's movie good. Was she in with Whoopi Goldberg?
Oh, Karina.
Oh, wait, no, was that her? I don't think that was her. That was like another child.
No, it was her.
It was?
Yeah, Karina, okay. Karina with Whoopi, Ray Liotta, and Tina Margerino.
Oh my
and
god.
And they blow,
yeah.
They blow the stop sign to make it green, remember?
Mm-hmm.
They go, Ray Liotta was hot too.
Yeah, Ray Liotta was hot. I was thinking so of Curly Sue. That's who I was getting mixed up with.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, wait. Would you... Curly Sue also is like, I see her face being like, at me from like the cover of that movie.
Yeah. No. Do you remember Andre, that bizarre movie where they like adopt a seal?
Yes. Why don't we get movies like that anymore? No one is trying to go out on a limb. There's no creativity in Hollywood anymore.
Because birds and bees are dying, I guess. I don't know.
I guess also it's like animal abuse to like force a seal to be in a movie.
But that movie has traumatized me, because there's a part at the end where she goes on like a little dinghy and like gets swept out to sea, and they're in the middle of a storm, and she has like galoshes on, and she's screaming, and Andre's just like steering her through the waves, and it destroyed me.
But did he save her?
Oh yeah, they get saved, but like Andre stays with her through the whole thing, and it's really sweet.
That is sweet.
And Andre, it takes place in like the 60s. It's like it's so weird. The seal like comes into their house.
People love making back in like the 90s. They loved making movies that take place in like the 60s with like a animal comedy.
Yeah, yeah. What was that?
Like, I feel like Wishbone. Now and then, yeah, Wishbone, a classic.
Or My Dog Skip.
My Dog Skip, another classic. Oh, and what was that? Frankenweenie, the Tim Burton movie.
Oh, yeah. That was weird. Yeah, the 90s were weird with, like, nostalgia for the 60s, because it was all the boomers were, like...
Yeah, and, like, Pleasantville happened and, like, in the 90s.
I was into Pleasantville.
Yeah, I mean, I love it, too.
Major. Speaking of Reese Witherspoon, okay, so one thing I want to talk about before we get into the ghouls is, so there's like, there was all this hubbub over the weekend because Ellen, hubbub.
A real hubbub. It's a hubbub with Carrie O'Donnell. What's the hubbub today with Carrie O'Donnell?
The hubbub.
Tell me the hubbub of the weekend.
That's so, like, Las Vegas. That's
it's so really Las Vegas. We've gone to full old dogs. I hope that we target some boomers. I would love to get... I know there's a few boomer listeners. Shout out to Monica, mm-hmm. my queen.
Hey, Monica.
Queen. So I know I have one boomer listener, but I would love to have more. Even though I don't believe that they should be allowed to vote.
Yeah, me neither.
I hope that they can forgive me for that and agree that they just shouldn't vote anymore past the age of 65, but then get on board with like everything else that I'm doing.
I hope like my nephew and the babies of the world can forgive them for
the
stormy future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ellen DeGeneres was photographed... at the Dallas Cowboys this weekend in the owner's box, sitting next to George W. Bush and Laura Bush. And Portia was on Ellen's, you know, on the other side of Ellen.
Yeah.
And they looked like they were like chumming it up. And mm-hmm. people were just so lit about it on social media.
It's so funny that you bring this up, because I was, as we're doing this podcast, I was just getting texted by my best friend who was like, Reese with the stupidest take. And I was like, wait, what is this? Because I've been on a total digital detox. So I have no idea about anything that's happening. And so she just filled me in with like a whole paragraph of text messages right as you were saying it.
Good.
So I'm up to speed.
Christine.
Yeah.
God bless Christine. Well,
God bless.
No. Yeah, so Ellen, so immediately there was people, everyone on Twitter was like making fun of them. They were like trolling Ellen. There were, you know, it was just some like rich people fuckery, and like rich people and famous people don't live on the same planet as us. And they just like are like, what's the big deal? You know, and pay no mind to Ellen that she was sitting next to like a war criminal, but he's been on her show a bunch. Like she's called him on the air when the twins were on. So Ellen has, you know, obviously a friendship with him, and she didn't say anything yesterday. And then today she came out and did like one of those, like, here's the thing kind of, you know, statements on her show. And you know, she basically was like, George W. Bush is a friend of mine. I have lots of friends who I don't agree with politically, but I still see them as people and we find common ground. And, you know, she was like, just be kind to everyone. You know, that's my biggest thing. My plea to everyone is let's just show kindness to people, regardless of backgrounds, political beliefs. She's like, I feel like America has forgotten that differences make for the better in terms of like ideologies and stuff. And I was like, I don't know. I was wondering what you think of that.
I mean, I'm just learning about it now, and I think a few things.
Did I catch you off guard?
You've caught me off guard with the hubbub of the weekend, but I'm ready to weigh in.
I forgot. In just a few hours,
it's so funny.
Things have changed on the internet.
I know, but like truly within, like it's been since Saturday, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, like 3 full days. But I was sure that like some bullshit would go down and be glad to like not be necessarily like wrapped up in it in the moment or like just emotionally invested from even like a passerby standpoint. But like,
yeah,
I feel like rich people operate, I agree with you, they operate on a fully different scale than like regular working class, if you will, people.
Right.
And so, and it's kind of like after a certain point of wealth, like it doesn't, I don't think it matters like who you vote for or like what you stand for, because you're all just unified and wanting to get richer. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like your biggest interest.
For sure.
Like, we're all wealthy. Who cares? Like, let's get as rich as possible. So
yeah, it
doesn't really matter. Sorry. Like you're like, oh, whatever. Like I've had to do crazy things to get where I am today. So like you've all like been through the ringer, but like you've gotten through it and that you're still rich and powerful. And that's like the most important thing. So you kind of like find common ground in things that like normal people would be like, oh, but you're a war criminal. And like, well, it's like, I don't think that she thinks of it that way. I think it's just like, God, we've been through so
much. No, I agree.
So like they're operating on that playing field, which is like who like can't relate. Sorry. But
yeah, no, I agree with you. I think like I wasn't, to be very honest, like I wasn't shocked by it. And like it didn't, I mean, I kind of like I had some fun, like just making fun of, like I tweeted like, Ellen claps back at Guantanamo Bay. But like, I mean, I find it funny in like an absurd way, because it's like, of course Ellen is like, you know, friends with George W. Bush, but like I think people were just like shocked by it, and I was like, guys, why are you shocked that Ellen DeGeneres being friends with George W. Bush?
Like, of course,
like, of course she is.
Yeah, she's like the wealthiest and maybe most one of the most powerful queer people on the planet. Like,
probably the most powerful gay person on the planet.
Yeah, there. Of course, you've met like every other powerful person in your stratosphere, and like, and then you've chosen which ones you want to be friends with, and probably George Bush is like fun to be friends with, as opposed to like someone like Donald Trump, which is not that fun to be friends with.
Yeah,
I think no, you're, and when you're ranking people on like a social level, you're just not taking it anything else into it. Did that, and that's
sure.
Not to excuse anything. I'm just like,
no,
that's like a whole different universe than like day to day human beings. And I understand why people
sure,
get mad, because she positions herself as like. This she positions
liberal.
Herself in a way that like I think is very disingenuous to the kind of person that she actually is, because from
for
what
sure.
I've heard, she's like not the best boss.
Yeah, I mean, she's
and,
clearly
like, not
like
nice.
Yeah, I mean, She spooks people. Like, she scares people. That's like her, like, that's her gag.
She's so, on a continual power trip. Someone that literally who, like, their main thing is scaring people to death on camera is like their power. They're on like a power trip that you can probably assume extends into just their day-to-day business dealings and like the what happens to like people that work for them.
For sure. And I was just kind of like, I mean, I look, I get it. George Bush was like, you know, I don't know how much he's progressed, but he's evangelical. He hates LGBT people, or he doesn't hate them, but he actively tried to work against them during his terms. He represented a group of America that, you know, a part of America that isn't very tolerant to, you know, Muslim Americans, and like, it was right after. So like, I don't need to like list all the things, but obviously people were upset that Ellen, a gay person, was friends with them. But it's like, I was just kind of like, I don't give a shit. Cause it's like, I'm not surprised by Ellen being friends with like a questionable person.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, I had fun like trolling it a little, but like some people were like sincerely like, how could you do this? And I was like, okay, like whoa, what's happening outside?
What is happening outside?
Just loud men.
Oh my God.
Talking about cars.
Ugh, classic man conversation. Fuck.
I don't know. Like, her whole thing is like, be kind, just be nice to everyone. And it's like, no, Ellen, you don't have to be nice to everyone. Like, because not everyone, because, you know, I just saw someone, a comedian on Twitter being like, because not everyone thinks gay people are human, you know?
Yeah.
So I think in that regard, it's like easy for you to say, Ellen, you know, be nice to everyone.
Yeah.
And be tolerant of everyone. And it's like, no, that's just not how the world works. And I think that is very disingenuous, as you said. And but I also was kind of Tony, like, why is everyone surprised at this?
Yeah. I think probably.
Wait, Jesus Christ, you hear this? No. Readers, Laura.
Tony barked on my end, so I was just like trying to control him. He's getting.
And you hear like.
But then
the
are men.
Heteros. Just,
like, talking about street. Hot rods on these streets.
In West
Hollywood. This is West Hollywood.
Get
Stop
out of
it.
Here.
Get out. Get out.
Get out. Get out.
Get out,
what
please.
I went outside and went, get out.
Do it.
This isn't for you. This isn't for you.
This isn't your town.
Leave. Stop talking about cars.
Please, I don't care about cars.
Speaking of old dogs, speaking of Las Vegas.
It's a total old dogs move.
For sure. But anyway, so Reese Witherspoon tweeted like, great message, Ellen. Like, we could all use a little more. I was like, shut. And then I was like, okay, Reese, shut the fuck up. It's just all these like super rich people who have like hundreds of millions of dollars being like, let's be kind to everyone on either. Like, let's bridge the gap, you know, reach over the aisle. It's kind of like.
Easy for you to say.
Stop talking.
Yeah.
You know, just don't say anything.
Don't you think that you stop having like any sort of like. Tony, please. Thank you. Oh my goodness.
Don't people in that position shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Right? Like, but don't you stop? Don't you think that no matter if you are super rich, you don't have an identity? Like, you can't be oppressed anymore? I mean, is that narrow-minded of me to think? I just feel like if you have a ton of money, you, no matter what you are, like, what race, what, how you identify, like, you are no longer able to kind of be oppressed because money gets you out of any problem.
I think what you can do with that money, and Ellen obviously has, like, given a lot of money, like, there are people who have tons of money who use it, you know, to fight oppression that they don't have to endure anymore, or like that they had endured before on their way up to being rich. You know what I mean? So like, mm-hmm. I think people can do good things with if they have enormous wealth.
Yeah.
But it just.
Yeah. I mean, it won't change the past, what you've been through, but like,
no, for
sure. The moment that you are super wealthy and privileged, you create your own.
Back.
Yeah. you don't have any more.
For sure.
No one's going to troll you. You are the troll.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And I was just kind of, no, yeah. And I think Ellen, I was almost like, why did you even say anything? Because I just feel like what she said was like corny.
It's lame. And, like, and it's also not true. Lame. Like, Christine sent me a tweet from Kyle Buchanan where he was like, maybe she could start with the people who work for her show. Which is,
oh my god,
lol, because Kyle. Everything I've ever heard from anyone talking about Ellen ever is that she is the worst boss of all time. Like, truly,
yeah,
like, not a great person to work for. That's been a
I think everyone has heard rumblings.
Has been a persistent rumor. Like, I'm not even, like, perpetuating no, anything. I think
everyone,
it's like,
everyone has...
If you are an industry person, quote unquote, and you've talked about Ellen, quote unquote, you can agree that you've heard the same. We all know yeah. what Ellen's deal is. So, like,
yeah,
it's
rich coming from her. No pun intended.
It is yeah. rich. Yeah,
real rich, Ellen. But I was just kind of like, I was like, guys, let's just accept that, like. Famous people suck.
Yeah. They're like, all going to have each other's back. They have no perspective on anything.
Yeah.
And, like, stop like, idolizing them and thinking that they're, like, the end-all be-all.
Obviously, there are some real ones, and there are ones who are, like, very vocal. But, like, a lot of them are full of shit and just, like, are just rich. And they're just friends with other rich people. And it's not even about politics. It's just about money and power. Yeah. And when you have money and power, you're friends with other people who have money and power. And, like, mm-hmm. Ellen, but own up to it. And Ellen could have just been like, literally, I'm rich. Like, what do you expect?
I'm and rich I would have been like, funny.
That's real.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean?
He makes me laugh. Like, even if she was like, he makes me laugh. And, like,
he's silly.
He's silly.
he I get it. I mean, killed millions of people, but, like, or hundreds but of whatever, thousands of people. But,
you know what I mean?
But
it's fun to be around.
Just the going on air and like being like, I want to address something. And just being like, don't address, just say we're both rich. Rich people hang out with each other. And I have no other excuse.
Yeah. Or don't.
I would have been like, that's real. Or just yeah. don't fucking say anything.
Don't say anything and don't apologize. I feel like.
Continue. She didn't apologize.
Yeah.
she posted a tweet that was like, a lot of people were tweeting things because when people are angry and they don't know what else to do, they tweet. And I was like, okay, cool. Like the plebs, right, yeah, Ellen? Okay. And then she wrote, she pulled up a tweet on the big screen and was like, but I like this tweet. And it said, seeing Ellen and George Bush together gives me faith in America again. And then everyone in the crowd started cheering.
Oh my
And I was
God.
Like, okay.
You're literally, and that's the video, a propaganda film.
It is.
That like, is true okay, Lenny propaganda.
Riefenstahl, like, what the fuck?
Thanks, Aunt Lydia. Like,
yeah,
moving
what
on.
Fucking Handmaid's Tale hell is that? And then the video is tagged, like, this something something will give you faith in America again. Like, this photo of Ellen and George Bush will give you faith in America again. That's the title of the video she posted. And I was just like, okay, now you've taken it too far.
Yeah, like, if that gives you faith in America, your right to vote should be taken away.
When I saw that, I thought, wow, this is just
this
America.
Is classic and exactly how things are.
It didn't give me faith. It didn't make me despair. I just was like, wow, those are just rich, famous people who don't care and are just like whatever. Like, that's what I saw when I saw the photo. As a gay person, I was like, I wasn't like, how dare she? Like, I just don't expect anything. Like, is that bad? Like, I was just kind of like, obviously it's fucked up that she, like, he did some fucked up things to legislate against, you know, queer people in the past, but like, I was just kind of like, not shocked.
Yeah, but also those rules probably never applied to Ellen, so who, like, why should she get so mad about it? Like,
I mean,
she
look,
even
Ellen...
has enough, like, she's been through, I watched her Letterman thing, like, I didn't realize that she had been through the kind of, like, abuse and
for
stuff
sure.
that she had been through, which gave me a whole new appreciation for her, and, like,
me too, and
I was truly,
was,
like, wow,
totally...
I really, I was kind of, like, don't like you / ambivalent. And then it made me really like you and appreciate your journey. But that doesn't mm-hmm. discount the fact that you're just like a fucking really wealthy, powerful person. Like, okay.
And she also like, she was blacklisted for coming out. Like she didn't think she was going to work again. Like obviously Hollywood, she's now like one of its golden tickets, but for a while she was its biggest pariah. And like, I respect her for hanging in there. And I respect the other famous people at the time, like Laura Dern and Oprah, who appeared on that episode where she came out and like risked their own, you know what I mean? Like there were lots of people. And I think it's, Ellen is, you know, she's, that was punk at the time. And I won't ever discredit her for that, but I don't know. When I just saw that, maybe I'm just so jaded by everything and what's happening. It's like, really? Like, the president's refusing to give any more info for the impeachment inquiry and is, like, probably going to, like, hold himself up in the White House. You know, like, there's shit hitting the fan.
Yeah. And I'm like, that is pretty much what you should be concerned about. And then also, like, I mean, that... I flagged that because while I am on a digital detox, not too bad.
Yeah, I'm sorry to spoiler.
No, I'm fine.
It's still happening.
This was like a fully organic spoiler because I literally, these texts came in one by one with screenshots of all tweets that I could reference as soon as we started this podcast. So I didn't even have to check. Yeah, it was true God. And like, but I am still reading New York Times. So I was aware of the presidential, blockage, if you will, which is just like, okay, what did you think he was gonna do? Like,
yeah, that's the thing. It's like either with Trump, like, or Ellen, like, it's playing... like, what do you think these people are gonna do?
I'm sorry, if you really believe, like, if you're shocked and appalled at Ellen's behavior, you actually need to like check yourself into a clinic to like understand how the fucking world works. If that threw you off your full game, you gotta get it together, babe. And like, if you're truly just like, oh my fucking God, at Trump, it's like, where have you been? Like, you also cannot...
like, exactly. And like, everyone in her crowd, like when they show George Bush, they were all like, woo! Like, they're all clearly Republican. Yeah,
they love it. You love to see it. It's a full Ellen's you love to see it moment. Ellen's crowd for loves sure. to see it. She's like, here's a tweet I liked. George... And then everyone goes, woo! You see Carrie and I in the audience going, woo!
Woo! No, we would not be in that audience.
No, you'd have to pay me a lot of money to woo for that.
But we'll woo. I'll woo for
a price. Yeah.
We'll woo somewhere. Yeah, I'll woo for a price.
We'll woo for a price. If you see us wooing, people have paid us $50,000 a pop to woo.
I just all these white women in the crowd of Ellen. These like white Republican women. Woo!
Woo!
We love George.
Also, just like white Democrat woo! Women being like, "Woo! He's I silly. Love, 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 woo!
Yeah, love,
kindness. Yeah. Am I right? Like, let's woo!
Like a bunch of like kindness counts. Yeah,
like Ellen fans."
Oh my God. I'm just crying at like the horror. Like, Ellen just puts anything up on the screen and everyone's like, woo!
It's like the Shining twins murdered in an alley and then people are like, woo!
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 Woo! Like a tweet that just says like, your ancestors are ashamed of you and your descendants will frown upon you for all of eternity. And everyone's like, woo! Woo!
Yeah. It's a tweet that's just like someone just like tapping random keys on the keyboard.
It's just Ellen on the screen just going just like being rabbit.
Crawling on all fours like bah! Like making faces and everyone's like, woo!
Woo! Woo! Which is Ellen like scaring someone, like going, ah, and like popping up from the backseat of a car and like the car driving off a bridge.
And her ejecting like, right in time, like flying out and like a full parachute while the car smashes into flames. Everyone's like, woo!
Woo! Woo! love it. God, I remember when I admitted to you that sometimes I watch Ellen videos to soothe.
You love Ellen. You're an Ellen fan. You know that she keeps it real. You love Ellen, but you don't 10, expect too much out of her. That's how it should be.
I want to get $10,000 from Ellen for being gay.
get that 10K. I want to get paid to be a wooer in the audience. Woo!
I want to go on and say I've come out to my parents and get. Remember when those twins went on and they got $10,000 for coming out to their dad on the phone?
They did? Just on the phone?
Do you remember the Rhodes twins who are now like on Ryan Murphy shows?
No, I don't know them.
Oh my God. Okay, so these like twink twins, they were like YouTubers. They came out, they're identical gay twins, but they came out to their dad on the phone together. The video is, I'm gay and Austin is too.
That's also a fetish. Like, okay. That's like playing into some internet fetish.
I know, but the dad was like, okay, like I love both of you. And they were just crying. And I mean, it was like, it was real, but like and then they went on Ellen and she gave them both $10,000.
That's amazing.
And I was like, okay, can you give that money to like people who actually need
I know. Also, they don't need that. They're just like two white gays.
I know.
Twins. They're going to make that money back and like they can make it working in a month.
Exactly.
I know. She's like, you really need this.
You need this.
You know what? I'm looking at you guys and I think that you need this.
I really think that you need this $10,000.
I go, woo!
And then me and you in the crowd go, woo! Here's a really scary painting by George W. Bush of his dreams being haunted by the Iraq War and Afghanistan. Woo!
Woo! Yeah, I just bought a George Bush painting. Woo!
Have you seen his paintings?
Yeah, they're kind of good.
There's one of him like in the shower. And he's looking at himself in the mirror and he's naked and it's like very vulnerable.
I'm into it.
But he's also a war criminal, so.
I mean, totally. But also, I'll bet he's fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
He woos.
He woos. He gets it. I feel like he would listen to this podcast and laugh.
He would. He'd be like, I don't really know what they're talking about, but.
He'd engage positively with the content. Woo! Woo, you say? Woo!
Woo, you say? Woo?
That what you say? Woo!
Laura Bush.
Laura?
So boring, but she would go, oh, that's fun.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Boring, but a good bob. A solid bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barbara Bush?
Old. Barbara Bush dead. Helped. Isn't she dead? No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But she...
Rip.
Barbara Bush, she... She definitely, she went and visited people with AIDS when people weren't. She was cool.
Yeah. She low gets key. It.
Nancy Reagan, burn in hell.
Fuck yourself.
Go fuck Reagan, yourself.
Fist yourself. No woos
Go
for
fist
you.
Yourself. No woos. No, don't even fist yourself because that's
too
good for both of you.
Pleasurable, actually.
Yeah.
Zero so. Woos. Die.
Just
sexless.
The fires of hell.
Yeah.
speaking
of hell,
guys, we're on the last episode of Gallery Ghouls.
It's sad.
This episode, I actually got like, I mean, this episode made me super depressed.
Yeah, I forgot that it kind of ends with like no big deal. Like it ends with that there's no closure.
But it felt real to how life is.
Yeah, it was very like life, where you just are like left meandering.
No.
Like in the ether.
They didn't do any of the, like, you know how at the end of Housewives, they'll do like a little blurb about what's happening to them now.
I know. I was waiting for a blurb and I kept thinking that there was a blurb, even though I've watched the show twice and there just wasn't. And I was like, what?
Yeah, it's they just kind of fade into the horizon of the East River skyline.
Yeah,
you know the horizon of the East River and the blinking lights of Manhattan and Brooklyn.
I feel like the makers of the show were like, you don't need a real blurb. Like, you'll see them around. You know, like, they're like, you'll find them on, they'll, you're friends with them, or like, you'll find them on social media. Like,
mm-hmm.
They weren't worried I was about actually, how you were going to follow up.
Right. I was actually, I respected the producers. I thought they took like a very kind of meta ending with us. They just, I think they'd been so beaten down by darkness this season that they were like, we're going to give like a really artistic send off to these girls.
Yeah, it was a good, it was like a montage that perfectly summed up like what everyone's vibe was on that show.
Also, it kind of summed up like what being 20 is like, or in your mm-hmm. 20s, just like this weird, like,
failure
having friends
decade.
And then not having friends.
Yeah.
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 Just like being friends with people and then being like,
may pan out in some
friendships.
Ways, but really doesn't pan out in other ways. And that's just how it goes.
But what I was, what I was most thrilled about is that our girl Amy actually comes out on top. So
Amy got her retribution, which she really deserved after being trolled to hell and back.
She did. It was, as we said, you know, it was, we've both said that she kind of reminds us of Valerie Cherish.
Mm-hmm.
And this was sort of her comeback moment at the end, like when she gets the Emmy. She's
she
just
really
kind of
does.
Like, she beats all of them.
She beats all of them and she beats all the odds and then really comes off as like normal and cool.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like,
she like tones everything down. She's like wearing a blazer by the end, which was really unexpected. Like just like a black chic outfit with like a blazer and a blowout that was not offensive. Like, she literally got a Valerie Cherish blowout at one point in this episode. And I was like, ugh! But then by the end of the episode, the blowout was just like sleek and smooth. The blazer was on and everything was as it should be in this world.
I think Amy, time slip Amy, finally let go of the 50s and just fully acclimated to the early 2010s.
She did.
And was just kind of like, she was just like, you know what? I'm finally settled. And she put on a blazer and a black skirt and black tights.
She was given the choice of go back and like unlearn everything that you've learned thus far living in this new modern era, or adapt.
That's it. All the women were like, hey, so the time loop has been reversed, and all the luncheon girl, all the ladies who lunch, who were transported into the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, it's been reversed. We're going back to 1958.
Aren't you glad? And aren't you glad to get back to the
kitchen? Aren't you glad, Amy?
Aren't you glad to get back to the house dress and the stove?
And Amy,
I don't
went,
know about you, but I'm ready to iron something.
And Amy said, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to.
Amy goes, I love art. I want to talk about art.
I want to talk about art.
I love the gallery world.
I want to go to Dorian's. I want to see men. I want to mingle. I want to meet people. I want to see the world. I want to see New York
part of it all.
For all of it is. For every borough that could be. There's more boroughs than we even know, and I want to see them all. And they're like, but Amy, that means that you'll have to stay here with these
people.
Uncouth women.
They go, when you walk on the streets, you'll have to walk alone. You won't have a man to guide you down, tell you where to go.
And then Amy just silently looks at them and then goes, taxi! And she hails herself a cab. And they
does.
Go, Amy!
And Amy goes, I'm making a choice. I don't know if it's right or if it's wrong, but I'm going to make it. Taxi! And then
taxi!
She,
oh, God.
Oh, God. Oh,
taxi.
My God. And she gets in the taxi, and you know where that taxi took her? Right to the Bluebell Cafe to meet Maggie for coffee.
So we start out with Amy and Maggie getting coffee at Bluebell, and Maggie is like, looks changed in some way.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is the episode where everyone kind of realizes how awful their friends are.
Mm-hmm.
And Maggie sort
like,
of,
we've made all the wrong decisions, but now we're going to try like a Hail Mary to make it right. But it still is too late, except for Amy, who literally just like went with her gut 24/7.
She is.
And it panned out.
She just she reacted purely on instinct at all moments. And sorry.
No, you're fine.
I'm like, the dust from the time slip is just like gotten in my throat. So Maggie reveals she's leaving Eli's gallery for good. And she reveals to Amy that she's had a falling out with Liz, and, you know, Liz is still mad at her. Yeah. And Amy goes, "Say I got drunk. Big deal.
Get over it.
Get over it, Liz."
I love Amy. She's right.
And then Maggie says, "Amy, I just want to let you know that, like, having gone through this thing with Liz, like, I remember you kind of talking about your sordid past with her, and I feel like I owe you, like, kind of a moment of vindication."
Yeah, she was like,
"You were right."
Yeah, Ryan always said you were the nicest person in the whole group, and he was right, and I'm sorry. And then Amy sobs.
Amy starts to literally cry.
Mm-hmm. This is what she needed Maggie to hear, especially after the time slip. She was waiting for a sign because she, you know, she like decided to just stay in New York in 2012 and like didn't know if it was
this
right
is my
or wrong.
Sign.
And then that was her
she
sign.
She told the cabbie, she was like, "I don't know if this is right, if I stay in this time." And he's like, "What?"
He's like, "What? Then, I don't understand what you're saying."
Yeah, what are you talking about? And then she gets out and she's like, she looks up at the sky and goes, "Oh God above. If this
wish
is the right place, let me know."
And then Maggie said that shit, and then Amy just like was overcome with emotion.
No, I think Amy has just been like bullied and like just so weathered down by these like mean people all season that this was the first like real moment of kindness she got from someone. And then Maggie kind of looked like she was about to cry.
Yeah, I think Maggie tears up. And then it's like, also, Liz is like a moralistic psycho. Like, she's bad, I think.
I think she's bad, too. I went back and forth on her this season where I was like, oh, she's kind of funny. But I think deep down, she's just like mean and angry.
Yeah, and I have empathy for what she's been through, but I'm also like,
me too,
bitch,
don't hold it against people.
Yeah,
use it to learn and grow from that and be more sympathetic towards people and more and less judgmental.
Yeah,
and more understanding. Like, you went through this humbling experience, like, use that as motivation to try to understand people too, because someone might be going through something bad too and you don't know.
Yeah, you have no idea what other people are going through. You should have a little more empathy, though, because of what you've been through.
Whatever. Thank God she's on this episode a lot.
Yeah. Amy goes, "This means the most to me for the rest of my life," to Maggie. Which is true.
Oh, like, my God.
It really did change her entire life.
Yeah, because she gets to stay in this time, in this time era.
More than Maggie will ever know.
So we go to EOC, and Claudia has all the girls in one place.
Thing before Amy is like, she and Maggie are like leaving that restaurant, and she's like, she goes, let's just like hang out and do galleries and talk about art. And Maggie's like, yeah. And she's like, are you tied to Murray Hill? Because I'm thinking of moving soon. Are you thinking of moving? Like, Amy's like all in with the friendship.
Amy's like, let's be roommates and share a bed.
Yeah. And talk
let's
about art.
Let's push our beds against each other and talk about art all night. Or have a trundle bed.
I love that.
And Maggie's kind of like in on it. Maggie is swept up in the mania, and she's kind of like, yeah.
She's like, yeah.
That sounds good. Honestly, I love Amy going, I love Murray Hill.
I love Murray Hill, but are you thinking, I'm thinking about maybe relocating soon. Are you thinking about moving?
I love it.
It would be better for Maggie if she moved in with Amy, honestly.
I know.
But far from Murray Hill.
They do Ouija boards every night?
They would. They'd trade like diary entries.
Oh my God, yeah.
They could talk about Eli.
Yeah, it'd be like, what's that movie? Oh, wait, it'd be like Sissy Spacek and Three Women.
Oh, I haven't seen that. It's on my list.
It's good. Sissy Spacek, Shelley Duvall. It's amazing. Everyone, yeah. I watched it recently.
I need to. It's been on my list for a long time. I need to like watch it. I think it's on Netflix too.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
So we go to EOC, and Claudia finally has Chantal and Laura back in one place to go over like their
is reunited
fledgling business. And Laura is like explaining all the EOC bills, and Claudia is like swaying back and forth and basically like face palming, just going, I know.
She's like, also smoking so a cig stressed out the window, which is like, why are you again? Why are you smoking in the store, Claudia?
No.
Can you put that out for a second?
It's wild. And Laura's basically like, we're going under. And then all of a sudden you see Chantal walk by the main bay window and she's wearing a huge fur, and she brings in a bottle of wine from France.
Mm-hmm. And she strolls and find out that Chantal plops that bottle of wine on the counter, and they're like, Lara's like, is that fur from Paris? And she's like, mm-hmm.
We learn that she was It sounds like she was quarantined by, like, the government of France and not allowed to fly back to America.
She got contagion in Paris and then was, according to Chantal, in the hospital, put on, like, a no-fly list and, like, had to recover from whatever horrific illness she endured.
So basically she got hungover and had to get, like, an IV to get not hungover.
That's actually...
She went to get one of those, like, IV places.
Yeah, that's true. She got she got the cure.
And then Claudia goes, so here's our final termination letter from, like, if we don't pay this bill to Con Edison, like, we're done. And then Chantal laughs, and she goes, I don't know why I'm laughing. That's not funny. And I was like, oh, my God.
A true power move.
True psycho. She just goes,
sorry. I have this, like, cough.
Both have contagion.
I have full Chantal contagion.
No, I'm the same way. Chantal's like, I don't know, that's not funny, but I'm laughing. And Claudia's like, yeah, it's not funny. I'm going to probably sublet the store.
And then Chantal comes back with a power move of the century. Chantal goes,
I'm thinking of moving to Paris, honestly.
That's
I literally
funny,
screamed
I'm
when she said that.
Thinking of moving to Paris.
Honestly,
I'm thinking
of moving.
And then
Claudia, her jaw drops when she says that.
You can't, like, power
move. She's like,
move.
I can't.
Chantal. You can't do it. When you think you've gotten her and you're going to shut her up, you are actually, I would say, in the most trouble of your life, because Chantal is going to come out of the woodwork with something so psychotic that it will leave you on the floor.
Which is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I'm thinking of moving to Paris, honestly.
Okay.
That's like this one time I was someone I casually dated once, when he sent me the text that he didn't want to see me anymore, he said, I have one foot in the door. I have one foot in Mexico City as it is. And I was like, oh, okay.
No. I love when someone's
that's what
like,
that felt like that.
They're already like a country away.
I'm already, a part of me is in Mexico City already. Mm. I was like, I have one foot. I was like, okay, great.
What do you even say to that? You're like, okay, enjoy.
But yeah, Claudia's just like, I don't even know how to respond to that. And she just continues to smoke out the window. And then Laura comes
out. They get in a fight. Laura comes out and she's like throwing daggers at this point. And she's like, maybe if you sold a painting, we wouldn't be in this mess.
And then she goes, and then Claudia goes, I'd love to see either of you sell a painting, especially you, Laura. It was like that girl's email.
So
the reader's
rude.
Email.
She pulls a Laura, which
especially
is,
you, Laura.
Not okay.
And Laura's like, I have to go home. I'm leaving. So they just, they don't solve anything. They don't make any money.
Laura sets a really firm boundary that she's just like not going to do whatever they're doing anymore. And she pieces. And then that's just that.
She literally shouts, sell a painting.
Right as she's leaving. She puts on her like flannel jacket. And you know, her and Chantal are cool. Like, they've been allies from the start. Chantal's like, bye, Laura.
Oh, for sure.
And Laura's like, bye, sell a painting. And then leaves.
Also, weren't they selling their paintings for like $7,500?
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
That's insane. And Chantal's right. At that one point, she's like, if Claudia wants to sell these paintings, she needs to be writing press releases, going out every night, meeting people, networking, and like figuring out who the hell is going to buy them. Because like, they're not like operating at a price point of like the normal end of century consumer.
They're like, you don't do any social media. They basically are like, you don't Instagram anything. Like, you don't do shit. You just like expect people to stumble in and accidentally buy a $7,500 painting of a sky.
Yeah. Like a blue paint.
Or like a Paimon statue. Like, no one wants to buy anything in that store.
No, they just want to buy some like weird clothes. And then that's it.
Yeah.
And then Claudia is like, she just like doesn't get it. I'm convinced that Claudia is like kind of the biggest psycho on this up on this like.
Yeah,
series.
I kind of agree.
Like, I don't understand. Like, she bought in. So did she pay to just like rent that space for a few months?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it was like a forever thing. I think it was like a year or so, like lease or something.
Yeah.
But, and then they were going to see it, how well it did, or I guess, but it clearly didn't do.
It's not thriving.
But they should have just sold clothes. I think that that's what they should have done. And then once they had enough money, then they started working in art. You know what I mean? Like, I think
yeah,
they just.
Or like find people like Suck Lord that you can sell art for cheap. Not like you can't have yeah. like a crazy disparagement between like the art you sell price wise and like the clothes you're selling.
Yeah, that was wild. They it's didn't wild. Plan that. I mean, no one gave them
doing.
Any advice.
Yeah, it was really bad. Chantal kind of had it together, like knowledge wise, what she was doing, but
she didn't. She didn't share
really.
Her info. She didn't.
She didn't share any info, and she was more invested than seeing it fail to laugh at Claudia. Than like yeah, actually do like be successful.
It was an experiment for Chantal. It was like it was actually a great performance art experiment, and she wanted to see like how fast a concept like boutique would fail in the Lower East Side. And it's actually a great piece of performance art, and she's a genius.
An artist. Yeah, I hope that she actually makes like a performance art piece out of this in the next like 10 years and then releases it at like the Whitney Biennale or something.
No,
like
she's
that.
Like she's recording ambient music in Grecian tombs.
Yeah. Chantal's on another
level.
Yeah.
So we go to Maggie and she gets a phone call from that guy, the one gallery that she interviewed at who like was kind of flirting with her.
Yeah. Bernarducci Mizell. And she's like shuffling around her apartment and she's like, my feet are cold. And then like puts on a sweatshirt and then gets a call where he's like, come in for 2 hours to like work and we'll pay you to just like do a test run and see if we want to hire you.
She's like, okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Oh my God, amazing. My feet are so cold. It's,
that literally
it's
is her.
She's like a fucking ghost.
She is a ghost woman. Her boyfriend comes home. He looks like he's just like had a crack bender and like that resulted in like killing a man in an alley.
Oh my God.
And like, he's like, hey, he looks like he looks his pure Jersey City energy. And she's like, I just got a job offer. They're going to pay me for a day. Are you happy? And then like crawls on his lap. And I'm like, can you not talk in a baby voice?
Yeah.
Please stop.
Can you help me?
And she's like a Victorian, sickly Victorian child from who has like, she has like scarlet fever always.
Yeah. They're like, I don't know. She was born with polio. And she's just like.
she's like the cousin in the Secret Garden.
Mm-hmm. She's just like laid up in bed. Like no one trusts her to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really cold.
So then Claudia and Angela meet up for dinner. And Angela's like, I have something really important to tell you. Like something that's changed my life forever. And Claudia's like, okay, wow, what? And she goes, I bought a Givenchy bag.
It's my first real goes, adult bag.
And Claudia goes, you are so shallow. Congratulations, Angela.
I love that too. Rich coming from Claudia, who has like a Balenciaga, like navy blue, like shiny gold hardware. I was like,
in this moment, I was kind of like, leave Angela alone. That's she
saved
hustled and
tips
she
and she saved and saved and saved and wanted this. That's kind of cool. And that's when I was like, Angela gets it and like is on
Claudia.
Claudia's like
Angela does something called making money. And that's when you work a job and you make money.
Yeah.
And you don't lose money.
Claudia's being a jealous hater in this scene of everyone.
She was so jealous. She was like, wow, this girl is self-made and like she's not depending on her parents and she works like 3 jobs.
And she goes on to like talk shit about Chantal and says that she doesn't believe that Chantal was even sick in Paris. Then she says she wants to see EOC die and burn. She was like, in my heart of hearts, I just want it all to fail. which is basically the what demon. Chantal wanted, but like Paimon has finally grasped her soul.
Yeah.
This is the moment. Chantal's where she's on one turned. Shoulder
and Chantal's on one shoulder and Paimon is on the other, and they're mm-hmm. just like, yes. Mm-hmm. You wanna see it burn.
They're but yeah, she goes,
basically, I feel like we're getting to a point where like I would like literally stab her in the throat with a fork.
Mm-hmm.
And Angela's like, and then Angela kind of nails Chantal though. She goes, I don't think she really wants to make money. I think she wants to just make cult status.
Yeah.
And like be this like kind of legend of the Lower East Side. And I was like, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Goal achieved, quite honestly.
And then when she said I wanted to burn, I immediately went Lisa Vanderpump vibes.
Total Lisa. She should have she could have outsourced. That would have been if Lisa just popped up and was like, darling, she lights a match at the very end scene when Claudia's like putting everything away. You just see a match light and Lisa's like, do I have an answer for you?
You just see Claudia like on the ground and staring up at like, she's like on her, like kneeling on the ground, just staring at like the burning building. And you just see Lisa with Jiggy just like smiling and petting mm-hmm. Jiggy.
At the end of the block.
Mm-hmm. Darling, all it takes is a little match. Mm-hmm. One strike of a match and your whole life can change. Also, I said Claudia looks like Chloe Grace Moretz.
She does. Oh my God, she really does. And this scene right? is oddly cinematic. Like, it's so, like, dimly lit. I feel like nothing's yeah. ever dimly lit in reality TV anymore. Like, you always have the shine of a light attached to a camera and stuff. So I was appreciative of, like, this, like, kind of candlelit restaurant mm-hmm. vibe.
For sure.
This is, so episode Maggie, was true art. Everyone got to, like, make the art that they set out to make with the show.
They were, like, to the producers, like, okay, you get one episode where you can, like, do your what you thing. Want.
Yeah.
And then they were like, okay, do what you want sooner. Mm-hmm. So Maggie goes in for her trial run at the Bernarducci Meisel Gallery, and she immediately starts talking like a baby.
Which is just like, immediately you're not hired. If you ever yeah. do that to a potential employer, that you're like the first day that you go in and they're like showing you stuff and you're like, you're done. You're never getting this job.
The gallerist, like the gallery director is named Marina, and she says something, and like anything she says to Maggie, Maggie literally is like, and she goes, okay, can you name two of our current shows that are happening that our gallery is putting up? And Maggie goes, no. And Marina literally goes, ugh. Okay. Like, she literally ughs.
Yeah. Maggie's completely ineffective. Like, so they are like, up. Go in a drawer and find the business cards and bring them out here, which is literally the easiest task that you could ever get. And Maggie just can't do it.
No, and she's like, you see her rifling through stuff, and she's like, oh, to the left, I don't know if it's this drawer or the one below. And she's like, it's really hard being in a new place. Like, at Eli's, I have the lay of the land, but here I have to find everything. I'm like, that's a job. That's a new job. That's called having a new job.
It's called open the drawers that he told you and just look in them until you see what he told you is in there, and then grab them and bring them out. It's not hard.
And then they have her go make a cup of coffee for the head of the gallery. And Maggie's like, I don't know if I can do it. And Marina goes, you don't give up sugar. You can't give up.
Marina is keeping it real. She also is like, is that Sia? Her wig.
Yeah, never seen I know. Marina's
eyes the entire time. Just like a Sia wig.
Her bang was so
swooped. Her bang is fully obscuring her vision. I live for people who so like, just have a thick bang. It's like, how are you living day to day life? They just do.
She's like she's like a caricature of just like a woman with a bang and like a pouty lip.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, I'll go help you. Cause she's like, you know, and in this moment I was like, I would probably be nervous to make coffee because I feel like I could fuck up stuff like that. But she was like, oh, I don't know. And Marina was like, okay, I'll help you. And then she she tries to teach her how to make a cup of coffee, and she just can't do it.
No, she just, like, can't do anything. And it's like, hun, you have way bigger fish to fry than, like, getting a job. Like, you have to learn how to, like, basically survive before you can go into another space.
I think she should go back to Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Just to, like, reevaluate.
But yeah, Marina kind of trolled her the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Marina's not impressed.
No.
And the main guy is just, like, laughing, but he's not impressed either.
No. They have, like, clients, and he's like, Maggie's going to help you out tonight. And Maggie's like, oh,
what do I have to do?
It's like, this is a client.
Yeah, this isn't... And I was wondering, too, like, do you think that she filmed this knowing that she, like, didn't have this job but just had to, like, film a scene pretending all this stuff? Or do you think this is actually how she approached this situation?
I think it was a mix of both. I think she thought maybe... I actually think that she thought it was, like, a real trial. And she just... I think she froze up with the cameras and just got, like, really self-conscious and, like, forgot what it was like to be treated with kindness. And not, like, some disturbing, like, psychosexual thing that she had with Eli.
Mm-hmm.
And she just clammed up and was like, I don't know how to make coffee.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
And I also think that she's inept.
Yeah. She just is, like, I guess has not had any, like, workplace challenges.
No, and no one knows, like, you just have to, like, try and, like, show that you're trying, and, like, eventually you'll get it. And, like, everyone is a little inept when they start, like, in a new job or, like, at a workplace, and they haven't worked really in the corporate world before or, like, in the gallery. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's inept in the beginning.
Yeah, you just make jokes and try and be, like, charming about it, and then, like, write some notes down and then just make people like you.
Yeah, but...
But I guess harder for some people.
No. And then we go to like a blah scene with Carrie and her dad,
like blah blah blah. She's who cares? You know what I mean?
Also, it was a little creepy. He's like, he holds her arm up and he's like, "You're getting thin."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Okay, stop." I got really creeped out.
Yeah, I was just like, whatever. Like her storyline is like, I can't handle an internship and a job. What will I do? Whatever.
Yeah, what a kind of a blah of a season for Carrie.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. She's just, like, a normal human being, like, that's, like, good at life.
Yeah.
So.
Good for
Angela,
you.
Good for you. You win. Angela and Chantal meet up at some random warehouse party. This was giving me, like, a rave vibe, except it wasn't very ravey. It was just, like, drinking in the dark.
No, they were at, like, some bar in Greenpoint, which has, like, some of these, like, underground. It's, like. They were at some, like, art collective thing in Greenpoint, and Angela goes out with, like, a mission to tattletale and Claudia.
Yeah, Angela's blowing up Claudia's spot. At one point, also, Chantal's, like, wasted. It cuts her drinking from a bottle of wine, and Angela goes, "You're drinking from the bottle," and Chantal goes, "I know, I have a drinking problem," and then laughs maniacally.
It's the three of them and Spencer, and they have their weird, like, threesome situation going on.
Yeah, and Angela tells Chantal everything Claudia said, and Chantal starts crying.
She goes, "Wow, I was really sick in hospital." In hospital.
In hospital. She goes, "It's just...
I was really sick in hospital."
The Federation.
The Federation. Lindsay would have gone. Lindsay, how many times has Lindsay said that? "I was sick in hospital last night."
That was Lindsay's, like, when she had to, like, take a break on Herbie Fully Loaded. "I was sick in hospital." Her first
side
bout
note,
of exhaustion.
Lindsay's dear friend, President Aragon, is, like, Trump is, like, having him to the White House and has betrayed the Kurds in Syria.
Oh, my God.
And is letting fucking Turkey, like, run through them, even though the Kurds have helped us with, like, ISIS and fighting Assad, and, like, have been amazing allies. So Lindsay, I'm ready for the Turkish government.
He needs to make Lindsay, like, the ambassador to Turkey.
Oh my God.
If that would Trump be a full again, circle
Lindsay
moment.
Will definitely be...
He should put her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he should give her something. She deserves it.
Wow.
Oh,
she's
also,
the ambassador to Mykonos.
She is always and forever an ambassador to Mykonos. Side note, I've been doing a bunch of like ancestry.com, like family tree shit. And I have traced back relatives of mine that were on my dad's side that are Germans from Russia. And a lot of their like origin, place of birth is listed as the Federation.
Oh my God.
I literally am born of the Federation.
You're a daughter of the Federation.
I'm a daughter of the Federation.
Wow. The Federation.
The Federation.
Oh my God, I'm really happy for you.
That's like why the Federation speaks to me so much is because I'm literally from the Federation. Because
it courses through your blood.
In my blood.
Wow. It courses
so
through your veins.
What everyone's done in the Federation.
I'm so proud. I love how Lindsay's always so proud.
I'm so proud, Patricia. What's her full name? Like Patricia Smith or something?
Patricia Smith is the president of the Federation's wife.
I love it.
So Chantel starts crying, and then she's like, Spencer, I want to go home. And then so he like takes her home, and he's like,
yeah.
Damn, I wanted to have a fuck Angela.
I know Spencer does look really bummed, and Chantel, because she's like fully like, it's no sex tonight. It's like a full cry fest, Chantel.
Uh-huh. God, he had already had to like wait in hospital with her.
Now I know, and now like he's had the shittiest trip to Paris of his life, and then now he's like having to just like take her back home.
Also, I was confused this episode of what season they were in, because I think they were back from Basel, so it was nearing Christmas, and there were like Christmas decorations up, and everyone was bundled up, and then there were some moments where they were like wearing no coats, and it was like green and spring.
It was really weird. And also, like, Maggie goes like surfing one last time, or like her boyfriend and his friend go surfing, and then later on it's like there's slush, and it's like looks like a horrible New York winter day. And so I was like, they've definitely just like taken a lot of liberties with like the passage of time
and just expecting us to like not notice.
I know, and that this time it did take me a while to notice, but then I was like, wait, they were just in like shorts and a t-shirt.
I know.
Earlier
I think they like took a break and then decided if they wanted to continue, and then they were like, all right, we'll film it in like March.
Yeah, or they something. Either that or they filmed over like a 6 month period and this is what we got as like a result.
Yeah.
Amy is job hunting and just sending out formal emails left and right.
She's typing, best regards, Amy, period, space.
She's Carrie Bradshaw.
She is. She's speaking out loud what she's typing. I just love it. So she sends off some emails, and then meanwhile, Maggie goes to tell Eli. She's so confident in how she did at Bernarducci Meisel that she goes to Eli's gallery to tell him that she's done. Maybe forever.
They have the most awkward conversation of all time. She got a blowout. Like, she like did her hair for this moment where she could like tell him that she's quitting, but still can't really get up like the confidence to do it in like a Samantha Jones sexy way. And
he like immediately starts to like fuck with her.
Yeah, he's trolling.
Also, I was like attracted to him.
I know,
scene.
He's kind of
hot. I don't know why.
He's hot.
I was like really, I said I want to sit on his lap.
I feel it. No, it's not weird. I was down. And then later on at his gallery like party when he was just wearing that white shirt.
Yeah.
I was like,
he was hot.
Yeah, I was like, I get it. I fully am like team Eli.
So she's kind of like, she's literally twirling her hair and going,
yeah, I went in for an interview and they love me.
And Eli's like, well, they want to pay me. And he's like, well, you know, lots of my interns have gone on to be employees, but that's okay. And, you know, I wish you the best. And, you know, I think he's really lucky to have you. And she's like, thanks. Meanwhile, she doesn't have a job.
Bad. No, she doesn't have a job, and she's doing the worst thing you can possibly do in that scenario, which is like pretending that you have the job that you don't know you have. You should never, ever, ever do that. Ever.
I just went to the interview and they love me.
They love me and they want to pay me.
She's like leaning against his desk and she's like twirling her hair and he's like, okay.
He's like, great. She's like, that's great. All you're going to say? He's like, yeah.
He's like, great. You won't fuck anything up in my
store. Oh, God. It's awful.
It was really bad.
She's not taking the power back in this situation.
No, she could have handled it. She could have done something to give herself a little more empowerment with this moment, but.
But you live and you learn.
You know? Yeah.
Speaking of lack of empowerment, Chantal and Claudia meet to chat.
Well, first.
What happens?
Well, first we see a glimpse at one of the sole customers of EOC this season.
Oh my God, Claudia's yeah. She buys $238 worth of merch.
I have to be honest. I got a little like ASMR in this moment. And I was like, it felt like I was watching people like play store. And I was like, this looks relaxing to like sit at a desk and like swipe a little card. Like I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah. It did look fun.
So this woman comes in and it looked like, I mean, obviously a lot more goes into that. But I was just kind of like, whoa. Just being like, do you want it sizes in 2 and 4? Well, the dressing room's right over there. Thank you so much. You know, and like, so this woman comes in and buys like some shitty dresses. And then Claudia like shows her the dressing room, which is literally like a shower curtain, like taped to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then she swipes her little card and puts her shit in like a old bag. And like swipes her little, and she's slow as she swipes the card in the little like machine. I was like, what? Yeah, I don't think Claudia, I don't think she's ever done that.
No, she's like, doing it for the first time ever.
I think people were like, hey, how about I'll take this off you and I'll pay you later. I'll just start a tab. And she was like, okay. And that's like primarily how they've gotten rid of all their inventory.
Yeah. I feel like Claudia's like any sale that she's manned has like never actually gone through because she didn't like punch it in the system correctly. So they've actually like lost money when she's been in the store. Or she would just like, yeah, fuck it up purposely just to like get back at Chantal.
And like be stressed.
Mm-hmm.
So finally she goes to meet Chantal at her apartment and she's like nervous. She's like, I feel bad because I actually was like talking shit about her.
Yeah. And Chantal calls her on it and then Claudia denies it.
Yeah. It was weird. So she opens the door and she's like, hi. And then she leads her into the kitchen and she's like, let's go sit over here. And then they sit down and you're right. She just immediately is like, I didn't say that.
I would never say that. That's crazy. I would never, ever say that. And it's like, you literally just did on camera. It was one of the Real Housewives things, like Ramona getting called out for like the table, like kerfuffle last season. She's like, I didn't say that. And it's like, it's on camera that you said like table 61 or whatever.
I mean, literally any season, any reunion, Ramona just getting called out. And then Chantal goes, maybe you're just not cut out for this work.
But also right when Chantal says that, it's Paimon music. Like it's like organ drama music. I need you to like edit that.
Yeah, the music in this episode was good.
It was really good. Like everyone was brought their A game to the final episode. And then Claudia's rebuttal to Chantal, she goes, I feel like I am actually cut out for a lot of work. Which is like, okay.
Good one.
Cool.
And then Claudia goes, yeah, elaborate on that. And then Claudia goes, I think we need to stop end of century and then figure out how to pay the debt back that we owe. Mm-hmm. And then Claude, and then Chantal goes, that shouldn't be the height of our worries right now. And I was like,
it should. But like, I love that response.
Yeah.
Because Claudia also can't just be like, it's like, she wants it, she wants to be done, but can't say, like, she can't be direct with Chantal because she's like afraid of Chantal. And Chantal knows that she has all the power in the situation. So it just ends up being like a delightfully sadistic conversation. Laura? Yeah. Can you hear me?
Crystal Caragul. So, yeah. So, she's like, I just feel like this whole thing was Chantal just getting the last laugh.
Yeah. Chantal's never been so happy. She's like, if you feel like you should leave, then you should definitely leave.
Claudia's not getting what she wants, and Chantal's getting exactly what she wants, which is Claudia just being confused and like, muttering.
Mm-hmm. And then cue the Paimon music.
Exactly. And then, so then we cut to this weird moment of like Maggie going to the beach with Ryan and Bobby.
Do you think that she was supposed to be surfing in this scene, but then decided not to? Because I'm like, why the fuck would you go follow them and film them doing this thing?
Because that's the person should, I think.
Yeah, Maggie just runs around on the beach squealing.
Ryan. She goes, Ryan wants to go. She wants to go surf before it starts getting cold out. So I'm going to go with them. And Bobby's gone. And then you see them and they're just surfing. And she's just shrieking at seagulls and crabs.
Yeah. She's like, who put all these shells on the beach? Do you think someone came out here and put them on the beach? Bitch, what?
Oh, my God.
Did she say that? Water. Yeah. She was like, where how did all these shells get here? Was like, what are you actually talking about?
Yeah, I think something's kind of wrong with
Maggie. Is like the yellow wallpaper. Honestly, like it's not.
She is. Oh fuck! What a reference.
I mean, that's her vibe.
Yeah, she's some like turn of the screw shit.
Yeah, she's like Victorian era, had to get like the hysteria cure and is now fully like fucked up forever.
Lobotomized? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the sea. It's the seashore.
It's literally the sea.
The shells come out from the sea.
They're sea creatures that live in the sea. They come out on the sand. They have shells. Like, it's the beach. What are you missing here?
Where all the shells come from?
And then we see Ryan on the surfboard, and he actually has like a very hot ass.
Really? I was like too distracted by Maggie's like beach freakouts to like pay attention to Ryan.
Ryan and Bobby had both had like bubbly wetsuit butts. And I was like,
hot.
I also wrote, it went from Christmas to fall.
Yeah, it was really, we went back in time. We're now in Amy's time continuum, the time slip.
So Amy gets one of her. I think the only person to respond to her emails, her work, that like blast she sent out, which is like, I totally relate to that because I used to do that. Mm-hmm. Where I would just send like 45 emails and be like on like media.com shit. She gets a child day at Bernarducci Mizell.
I know. So she celebrates by getting her 1,000th blowout and gets the full comeback blowout.
I wanted to get like her hairstylist relaxed me watching him do her hair. I felt very soothed.
Yeah, it was nice for both of them. Because then I think her blowout like I think her blowout calmed down too, or they just like filmed that on a different day than the day she actually went into this gallery because her hair looked really different when she went in.
So she goes in to the office and she's just like somehow a different person. Like she's wearing a blazer, her black tights, her little booties, and a black skirt. She's like Queen of the May of Bernarducci Mizell.
Yeah, and she's killing it. She says, one of my favorite contemporary photorealistic galleries is Bernarducci Mizell. And I was like, wait, you know like about art and art terms?
Yeah, I was like, what?
How did this happen?
When Elle Woods is like Harmonia like Glockalate or whatever. Like, it was just like, what?
Yeah, Amy's a star. She goes, I've worked at a lot of galleries. Macchiato, cafe au lait, espresso, you name it, I got it.
I just read that Amy is trucking around with a notepad and she looks like a detective.
She literally is on the case.
She is.
Everyone's really excited about her note-taking abilities. And like, Maggie did such a bare minimum that now anything Amy does is going to look spectacular by default.
And also, they're like, by the way, we're going to take photos of you. So she gets a photo shoot on her first day, like her trial day. She's just like, and then they offer her the job.
Mm-hmm. She poses with one of the, like a leveler, which was really the best.
It was amazing. It was like everything that Amy wanted, she was getting. And I was so here for it.
It all came together when she decided to just live in the now.
Yeah. And just be herself and be like herself. Reach in and find that Amy that no one's letting her be. But Bernadette Mizell let her be it.
Yeah. I also love that her dad's like, you need to get a job. Like, you have 2 weeks to find a job. And then she like gets this job and it's a huge success. And she works 3 days a week. She's working 24 hours a week.
I know.
But like, that is a huge success.
I think her dad was just like, any sign that you're actually working will do.
It's a win.
So then Eli's having a party at his gallery and he's like very dressed down. And he actually looks really hot again.
Yeah. We're both like, we would 10-10 fuck Eli.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
That's just like how it is. Liz's boyfriend is gay, is the note that I wrote. Oh, right? Bobby is gay.
He's totally gay.
Jane Holzer shows up. Who's she? Is that her son that she's with? Who's this child?
I think it's her grandson.
Okay. Liz is like
Liz is like talking shit to this kid about
she's like about so Maggie. Crusty about Maggie and Ryan still that she ropes this child into her drama.
Yeah, she's like this kid. He's like he looks like Bruce Bogtrotter from Matilda, and she's just like he's wearing a little pea coat, and he's very
9
busy.
Years old.
He's like
yeah,
he's definitely like got a personality, and she just turns to him, and you just hear her go, "She's so annoying," and this kid just like looks at her like.
And then
what
Liz
are you talking
looks,
about?
She goes, "Look at Maggie and her disgusting boyfriend. This kid who like doesn't know who Maggie is.
He doesn't like know nuance really yet. Like
I love.
He's 9.
Liz will stop at nothing to rope anyone into like her hatred of Maggie and Ryan,
or just in general. I feel like she does it to like everyone.
Yeah, she like, did it to all the people in her art class. Yeah,
yeah.
She's it's just, Liz's like, world, and we're all just living in it.
Yeah, we're all supporting characters in Liz's world. But this was thankfully the only time we saw her. So Maggie comes, and Liz sees her, and then Maggie immediately takes Ryan. She's like, "Let's leave, Ryan. Let's go."
She goes, "Come on, boo boo." Also, Eli calls Ryan buddy when he sees Maggie, and I was just like, "Oh, this is like bad. Ooh. You got to get out of here."
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for coming, buddy. And I was like, oof. Abort.
Maybe the smartest thing Maggie's done all season, they leave before it gets weird.
Maggie tells Angela that she has the job at Bernadette Mizell.
Right. Oh,
so
right,
she hasn't
right,
even
right.
heard that she has it. She's just like now telling people that it's happening.
Yeah. She told Eli, she told Angela, and they're all like, wow, good for you. And then Amy shows up, like, fully with a job, an actual job at Bernadette Mizell.
Mm-hmm. And in her moment of, like, raw confidence, Eli approaches her. And I was happy that they could have this, like, triumphant moment for Amy's sake with, like, her crush, Eli, where he's like, hey, how you doing? What's up? What's going on? And she's like, well, I have a job.
I've got a job. And he goes, oh, that's great. Where at? And she goes, well, Bernadette Mizell. And he's like, oh, so you're working with Maggie. And then she's like, well, and she wasn't trying to blow up her spot, but like, she couldn't lie.
Yeah.
So she just blew up her spot. She was like, I think I got the job.
And you know, that makes Eli like, so happy.
Oh, for sure. He's like, she's coming back to my clutches.
Mm-hmm. Or she's just like
so
destroyed.
Sick.
No one can leave me and get away
where
with
like,
it.
I think he's just, I think he's just done.
I feel like he's literally was like, Maggie, you're never going to work here. Like, I don't think we should see each other anymore. And then she just showed up the day that Gallery Girl started filming and was like an intern at Eli Klein still.
Yeah. She's like, I'm gonna just gonna come and do this, and you're just gonna, you know, you're just say I work here, and we're just gonna do a job together, and it'll be good. And he's like, okay.
He's like, can you just fill the dog butt water? Like, he's telling her all these things to like make her quit, and she's just not picking up on it at all.
No. So now everyone knows that Maggie's like fully lying.
Yeah. Or just like sadly unaware of the fact that she's jobless. Yeah.
So then Maggie gets summoned the next day to Bernadette Maisel.
They should not have. Who, like, you don't call someone into your office to tell them that you're not hiring them.
Oh, and by the way, when Amy got hired, they were like, the girl that tried out before you, she just didn't cut it. She didn't have the attitude. So, like, they totally just, like, were, it was like, God, poor Maggie. Like, she just gets completely, like, she has the worst ending of anyone, I think, on the show.
Yeah, she gets raked over the coals and, like, trolled so they bring from her all in. Sides.
She takes the elevator up, and the elevator doors open, and she sees Amy just at the front desk.
I love that, like, confrontation moment.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just like the uncomfortable nature of it.
Yeah, and she's like, can I take your coat? Can I take your coat? Do you want your... And Maggie's like, no, it's fine. And then she goes to the Bernarducci and Marina, and they're just like, it didn't seem like you really wanted to work.
Yeah, he was like, you seemed uninterested in learning anything about the art world. And then Sia just sits there. You can't even see her facial expression because her bangs are so low on her face.
Marina was trying not to laugh during this whole thing, by the way.
There is one point where she did. You saw like the whites of her eyes like roll back in her head.
Yeah, so Maggie starts just sobbing.
And Maggie's also, her reaction to this is terrible, where she just like starts crying and then whisper crying, which is the worst kind of crying you can do in a situation like this.
A professional situation.
She goes, it's just she not goes, true.
She goes, it's just not true. It's not true. I don't think, she goes, you're just really wrong.
Oh, and they're like, that's what we saw. So I don't know if we're wrong, but we, you know, we wish you well. And she's like, it's just, and she just cries for like, she stays there. It's like they're waiting for her to get up and she just won't leave.
Mm-hmm. And just keeps repeating, it's not true over and over.
It's just not true.
And then she finally gathers and she's like, okay, well, I'm going to leave. And then she leaves. And then she goes out and Amy, like, immediately goes to hug her. And then Maggie goes, they were saying all these things about me that just weren't true. And Amy goes, I don't know how long I'm actually going to be here, Maggie. She goes, are you here full, like, do you have this job? And she's like, yeah, but I don't know if I actually, like, she's totally, like, lying again and, like, people pleasing.
Yeah, like trying to make Maggie feel better.
That's it. Like, it's just, and then it's
Maggie has to hail a cab in her like Missoni for Target rain boots. And like,
oh my god, those boots, the saddest boots, galoshes of all time.
The saddest galoshes. And she calls Ryan to like whine to him. And the real star of this episode is Mookie, the miniature poodle.
I know. That guy was, he was like, he's like, say hi to my dog. And they're like,
I love
hi.
That guy. I feel like I could like really vibe with him.
Oh yeah, he seemed like the saddest part is that he probably was like the most easygoing boss.
Yeah,
and they had like a sweet gallery. Like, he's clearly really successful, very sweet natured, and like probably would have been super understanding about limitations and like, and Maggie just couldn't seal the deal. It was really sad.
I know. She was, like, fully teed up to thrive and then just, like, bungled the whole thing. And I kind of was just like, this is what you get when you don't, like, don't try and don't deliver. I don't know. I was like, whatever is happening, there's, like, a disconnect and you just need to, like, go home and work it out and then, like, re-enter the art world space with, like, a renewed sense of self and life.
It felt like a parody of like what boomers think millennials are like.
Yeah.
And like, but it was like actually true.
I know. Claudia and Maggie Which were like it... probably the worst examples. And Liz, yeah. maybe. Because Claudia's like, I just think that things will work out if I put the paintings on the wall. And Maggie's like, I just think that I'll get the job if I like show up to wherever.
And Liz,
yeah.
And Liz is just like, I'm an artist.
It's like, honey, you're not.
Yeah.
The montage at the She's end like, killed me, though.
I know.
Amy's like muttering to Mookie at the front desk of the gallery. Carrie is like talking to Sharon.
Yeah, they have like a quick, she's like, I have to stop doing art. She's like, I'm not going to make money. And I mean, it was smart. And Sharon's like, I really appreciate your hard work and I respect your decision.
And it just like fades out on their conversation because it's like they know the viewers don't give a shit. Just like, I really want you to do it. Then Angela's taking like pictures of people in front of like fucking food storefronts. Like, she's just still doing the art that she's like done this whole time yeah. that hasn't
God
sold.
Bless her.
But she's like, maybe if I just make more bad photos, it will really like things will work out.
Quantity
for me.
Over quality.
And then Liz tries to call her dad, who just like won't answer the phone.
Yeah. And then Claudia closes End of Century. And then you just see Claudia sitting at a bar alone, twirling her hair and drinking mm-hmm. red wine.
And then the show is over. Forever.
And it's just over. Forever. So they're forever amber, like frozen in amber. Just like doing those things forever. Like bad photos, talking to poodles, twirling hair, crying in a cab. Like,
End
that's
of Century
it.
Closed. Yeah. Maggie doesn't even get her final montage moment.
No.
Like, it was just, like her last scene. They're like, little, fine, we're done with her.
I guess there's almost like not even like, I mean, what a journey that was. The show was a lot different than I expected it to be, but I loved it.
Yeah. What were you expecting?
I think I was expecting them to be more heinous or like more drama and like bickering, but it was pretty real. The show, like yeah. it felt like, and I think it just really, for me, it captured like a spirit, like a moment of New York in that era when like that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, cause I was sort of there when that was happening. And it was not that I was in this world or like acting. I mean, I was a shit show in a lot of other ways. But it made me nostalgic for New York and being like in my 20s and like confused by everything.
Yeah. I get that too.
And like, yeah, I think it's anyone. I think it's one of the most like realistic depictions of like being 20 and like not trusting anyone and like having shitty friends and being like, what am I doing?
And like trying to hustle and being full of hope, but like your hustle's all wrong.
And you're just like continuously crushed by like capitalism.
Yeah.
And like the city, like just being continuously like kicked in the teeth by New York and like having foolish delusions of grandeur and like making bad decisions and not thanking people enough.
Mm-hmm. And like going to like Basel for no reason, but just because like
spending money that you don't
there.
Have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being a follower and like actively being a follower and like being okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
playing
wow.
into FOMO culture. Contagion.
Going on weird dates. And, like, not giving the guy a chance.
I'm like, odd. Going on dates with older guys like, and, like, saying a bunch of dumb shit. And then, like, being yeah, like, I'll never talk to them again.
Going on dates with, like...
realizing that you, like, could have played that a little bit better.
Exactly. And, like, going on a date with, like, a really good person. And then like, you just... saying like being like weirdly cagey with him and then him just like, being like okay I'm wasting my
time. Anyway,
yeah, god, well, I'm so grateful that we had this journey through the Monet skies of Gallery Girls.
Me too.
And we will be
take
back
my dying breath. I'm like
oh god. Are you
sorry.
Okay? It's the Chantal, the whooping cough.
Gallery Girls has literally killed me.
It's killing me too. We both got sick talking about Gallery Girls.
We caught the truest contagion.
We did.
Chantal.
But we're everything's under wraps with our figuring out the process of what show we're going to do next. We'll be back with you guys for a new series of some amazing short-lived reality show very soon.
Yes, we will be back, and don't fret about it. Sorry, I'm like,
you can follow me. No, don't worry. You can follow me at eCario on Twitter and Instagram, and you can follow Lara at Lars Marie, and you should sign up for her Patreon for Sexy Unique Podcasts if you haven't. Catch bonus episodes. There's a bonus episode coming up after this. And tell us what you thought of Gallery Girls and listen to this new episode when it comes out.
You really killed the game on that last entry. I don't know why I've like deteriorated into truly the sickness of a lifetime.
Don't worry. It's Paimon.
It's fully Paimon coming to collect my soul.
Or souls. He's coming for me next.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back. I'm fully dead. But I love you. Love and light.
Love you too. Love all of you.
Bye.
Are you okay?
No.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.